The new year approaches. This is your moment. Transform your mind. Secure your weapon. Hope, a powerful strength that sustains the mind, body, and soul. Except this year, actually do it. As your mind goes, so goes your life. Make 2019 the year of the new mind.
Hey, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Kyle. So glad you're with us. You know, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe, you're in the right place today. We are continuing on in a series that we started last week called New Mind. Because here's the thing about 2019, this new year that we're in, is you and I will go wherever our mind takes us. And so in this series, we're going to engage about where God might want to take us in 2019. And we're going to start off with worship. And I want to encourage you, one, sing out loud with these songs. You've never tried that before. But two, engage your mind with these words, because my hunch is there's a new place that God wants to take you this year. We're so glad you're with us.
There's no shadow you won't light. Father, I take a deep breath to breathe that truth in. We praise you because I don't have to beg you to come in and do those things. You do them by your very nature, by just who you are. You walk in, to darkness and it flees. And so we lift hands, we lift our hearts, our minds, our everything to you because you are King and you are worthy. Thank you for loving us like you do. We pray this all because of who we see God to be in you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. You sound beautiful. Thank you for singing with us. Yeah. Hey, before you have a seat, make this place a little smaller. Turn around and say hi to somebody.
Hey, thanks, Justin. Well, hopefully you already went to a new place today through engaging your mind and maybe even your heart with those songs. Hey, if you're joining us today, you need to know that Crossroads is not a TV show. We're not a video that streams. We are a church, which means a couple of things really important. One, we exist to serve you. We want to help you with whatever's going on in your life. And by that, I don't just mean in like a metaphorical way. I mean, we'd really like to help you. We actually have a team of people that you can access at any point, real people who'd love to have a conversation with you. Go to crossroads.net. There's a chat button in the corner, and they would love to help you with whatever's going on in your life. One of the things they're best able to do and best able to help you with is getting you connected to other people as a part of Crossroads. Life is not a solo sport, and I guarantee no matter where you want to get to in 2019, you'll get there faster and better with people who are moving in the same direction. If you connect with us, we can help connect you with those people. Again, just go to crossroads.net and click the chat button. That team of people would love, love, love to help get you connected. Now, at Crossroads, though, we're not just a community of people that you can belong to. We're also a team that you can join and be part of changing the world with. And we really do believe that what we're doing is changing the world. And that team of people is a team of people that put our money where our mouth is each and every month because we so believe in what God's doing here that we fund this place with our money. My wife and I are part of that team. We've been part of it for about 12 years now, and we love knowing every single month, every single week that our giving funds things like this video that's hopefully helping you get to a new place in your life. Funds things like helping impoverished people around the world in countries like Nicaragua and South Africa, helps free girls who are caught in a horrible sex slavery in places like India, and does all kinds of other incredible things. And if you ever want to know about that, like what does the money actually go to crossroads.net and just poke around that website. You'll find stories and videos and all kinds of things that help give you the flavor for what God's doing through Crossroads that you could be part of today. To do that, all you got to do is go to crossroads.net. You can make a one-time gift or set up a recurring gift, whatever you want to do. We would love to have you join the team. Now, today, we're about to continue on in week two of New Mind. So glad you're with us.
Good day to all of us here today. I'm excited to be with us today. Man, I had such a blast last week, first time preaching, speaking, communicating in 2019. And I just got a lot of good feedback on this series, The New Mind, some of the stuff that was shared. And one guy I know, with the new lens that I had just given us to see how our culture, our society believes that we can't change. We actually are threatened when someone around us change. Aren't we like that? Like if someone else has lost weight around us and we wanted to lose weight, we're threatened by them. If somebody else has read a really deep book that we haven't read, we feel threatened by them. And I feel like we don't want people around us to do any changing because then we might actually have to change. It's like there's this agreement in our culture. And so we have phrases like, you be you, don't change the way you are, be true to yourself. You can't be expected to be any different than who you are, which all assumes that change is impossible. So my friend, after that talk, sent me this a screenshot of a pair of underwear, the marketing material for it he had just gotten as a gift, and the tagline is, be true to yourself, stay the same way you are. First of all, that's gross for an underwear company to not be into change. You know what I mean? If you're an underwear company, you got to be into change at least every 24 hours. Am I right? I mean, that's just weird. Stay the way you are. I want to tell you today, I do not want you to stay the way you are. I do not want you to be true to yourself. I believe that there is a different and better version of you that's on the other side of where God wants to take you to. I believe that entirely. And I even believe things that are in your mind, mood issues that you may have, ruts in your thinking, I believe those things can be changed by the power of God and by the power of implementing the right thing at the right time. So let's pray before I go any further. God, thank you for today and for your patience. You are patient. You are patient, God, because I know there's things that you've wanted us to change, but we haven't been willing to change, or we didn't think that we could change. Help me today to talk about your transcendent truth, the truth that the brain is an amazing thing, and you've blessed us with faculties that are beyond the abilities of any other created thing in all of the world and all of time. I want to be clear, and most importantly, help me to be true to your truth. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Well, 2018 was a year where our social media feeds were filled with stories of anxiety, stories of depression, stories of suicide, high-profile people that we have known and perhaps loved from afar in America in 2018 went away. And that's just the big name ones. That's not the ones that you know personally or that you actually know of. The issue of mental health is a screaming issue of our time. It's not going away. It is here to stay. It has been here for a while. I actually believe it's getting worse, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, more than 1 in 10 Americans take antidepressants, the primary type of medication used by people ages 18 to 44. So of all the things that people take from 18 to 44, the most common one is something to deal with depression, anxiety. And I know that we have some folks in all of our sites and all across the country that you have been properly diagnosed by a medical professional, and you are properly and accurately and rightly taking medication for that condition. I would have no more problem taking medication for a mental illness than I would taking medication for the flu or any other thing. And I want to look beneath the veneer of the mental issues that are increasing in our culture. And I don't mean just those of us who have a verifiable clinical condition, but I mean all of us who have to deal with the mind, which is every last one of us. Part of Crossroads, who's a hardcore volunteer around here, a doc, a psychologist, just gave me like a minute of some wisdom I want us to just resonate with before we go any further today.
It is totally possible to change your mind, and what it takes is a ton of repetition to work on your mind and renewing your thinking. Especially with depression and anxiety, we can have distorted thinking and some faulty beliefs that are at play, and those can be worked out and corrected. So it's a matter of being aware of where your brain goes when it goes into that depressive place or into that anxious place. And with anxiety, you're usually predicting the future, and with depression, can come from either the future or the past or even the present. But just being aware of where your brain is going, capturing it, and there's no beating yourself up over it aloud. It's just a matter of recognizing it and then answering the question, what's true right here, right now? Right here, right now, what do I know is true? And with repetition, you actually literally rewire the neural connections in your brain. And so what you end up doing is creating a new thinking pattern, which is what we're looking for relief. So there definitely is hope. We have lots of things that can be used to help people deal with this.
Good stuff. Let's review where we were yesterday with our little garden experiment. Here we have not olives and a ginger root. Here we have what's known as the old brain or the reptilian brain. It's the brain stem. It's the inner brain. These are our eyeballs. We also have ears that all come directly into this thing. This is our instincts. This is our responses to stimuli. This is why when we lean on a stove, we feel our reptile brain kicks in and we move our limbs without having to think about it. This is why when I smell Armor All, I don't ever have to go, Armor All. What is Armor All? I smell that. The moment I smell Armor All, I'm reminded of a 1974 Chevy Vega, the very first car that I owned. There was a piece of garbage, and I rehabbed the thing, and I would Armor All the snot out of the inside because the only thing that was nice about the whole car was the Armor All. So this day when I smell Armor All, I'm in a 1974 orange Vega in the year 1983. I don't think about it. It's instinctual right here. And what we looked at is we have the ability to not act as instinctual reptiles, to not only be going by impulse, but God has blessed us with what scientists would call or neurologists would call the new brain, or the brain that mammals have, the mammalian brain. This is the brain that can process. This is the brain that can, when stuff comes into our stimuli, we can have parts of this brain go, ho, 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 whoa, 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 before you start moving your limbs, just stop for moments. Stop. You don't have to give in to your urges. Just hold on. And so this passage in the book of Romans chapter 12, it's almost like the author was writing about what we know about the neuroplasticity of the mind long before they even knew the term neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity, the idea that you can literally and physically change your brain. When we talk about having a rut in our thinking, people have been talking about a rut in their thinking for a long time. I'm in a rut. Even long before we knew that this is literal ruts happen in our brains. There are chemicals that course through our brain, forming synaptic connections, and there's little electrical charges. And the more we think on something, the more those chemicals go a certain way, and they actually form, if you will, the essence of a channel, a rut, a trough in our brain, and our chemicals want to rush down that trough again and again and again. So you keep thinking on something, you keep fixating on something, you keep doing the same thing again and again and again and again and again, it's easier and easier and easier for you. And so we say, man, it's just the way I am. Well, yeah, it's the way you are because we've created ourselves that way. That's just a scientific fact. And when Romans chapter 12, verse 2 speaks, it's almost like it's using the science of today. Here's what it says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. The renewal of your mind, you can renew your brain to think differently. You can renew your brain to have it feel, yourself feel differently. You can physiologically change the chemical patterns in your brain and in my brain. That's what medication does that's needed for extreme situations. It forces the chemicals to go in a different way. It messes with the chemistry up there. It's amazing how many things habitually all of us do. Just habitually. Don't even think about it. Like if you're in the tri-state area, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, you habitually get freaked out by white death that I used to know as simply snow. No, it's white death here. Now, I've talked about this before. I talk about this every year since I've been in Cincinnati. It's a weird thing, but I'm going to say it again because we're not getting it. The chemicals have corroded a rotting canal in our brains. Let me tell you something. Just because it's going to snow a little bit doesn't mean you need to go to Kroger to buy eggs and milk and batteries. Seriously, like the traffic jams outside of Kroger on Friday were ridiculous. Utter ridiculous. And I know, I don't care who says it's not true. I know. I absolutely know. The Kroger pays off local meteorologists. You watch. Kroger stock hasn't been doing all that well. This quarter, it's going to do great. It's going to do phenomenal. And let me ask you something. All the times that you've done that, have you ever gotten to day two and said, oh my gosh, I need more eggs. It's day two and I don't have any eggs. Have you ever gotten to day two and said, oh my goodness, I didn't have anything else to drink. I exactly needed to drink from a cow. Why didn't I have more milk? No, it's never happened. You have never had a weather situation ever in your life ever cause you to not have nourishment. Never. Never have. Never have. But yet, we're like, okay, snow, I must go to Kroger. Now. This is a rut in our thinking. I actually think it's a rut in what's the favorite pastime of Americans, which is fear. We are not the land of the free. We're the land of the fear. We don't know what to do unless we're afraid of some boogeyman that's actually right around the corner. Now, I am a fan of psychologists. I am a fan of medication. I am a fan for proper diagnosis and clinical studies. I am. I hope that if you're on medication for something that your doctor says that you need, that you feel that you're not odd, that you're not weird. You're not weird if you take an aspirin, if you need one, and if you're not weird, if you've been diagnosed properly. I believe it. Okay, now let me hit the pause button, or let me move on to talk to the masses, those of us who are masses. Let's think about this for a moment. 1 in 10 people are on medication. You might be thinking right now, man, I might need to go on medication. Maybe you do. Maybe you need to see what a trained professional would say. But let's just think about this for a minute. 1 in 10. 1 in 10 of us don't have cancer. 1 in 10 of us don't have Parkinson's. 1 in 10 of us who didn't have flu. 1 in 10 of us don't have dyslexia. 1 in 10 of us have nothing. Nothing is 1 in 10. Yet 1 in 10 of us are, I believe, maybe doing something that may be giving us relief, but maybe there is another way. All of us need to be interested in our mental health. All of us have mental health issues. If you don't believe that you can change, you have a mental health issue. If you believe this is just who I am, it's a mental health issue. I want to be mentally healthy. I want to be physically healthy. I want to be able to carry on my life. I want to be emotionally healthy, to feel the things I need to feel, and to be angry at the appropriate time, and to be joyful and happy and laugh at the appropriate time. I need to be relationally healthy with my friends, and I need to think about all those things. How do I make sure my health sectors are all handled? And mentally, I need to be mentally healthy and mentally strong. Suicide rates have risen 30% since 1999, making this a national crisis. Think about that. Since 1999, suicide rates have gone up 30%. Nothing has gone up 30% since 1999, save for perhaps opioid use or something like that. And this is industrial cleaner difficulty here, taking our life. Friends, something is wrong with our health. This, even despite more of us taking medication than ever before, our suicide rate keeps going up, up, up. We're not a mentally healthy people. We're not. One of the stories that I've told a number of times at Crossroads, I'm not going to tell it today, but it's one of my favorite stories I would tell my kids, and I've preached on at least three times here over the last 22 years, is a story about Elijah, one of the prophets in the Old Testament, who lives in a time where he's in the minority, where the nation is following a false god by the name of Baal, and there's a bunch of prophets who are speaking apparently for Baal that Elijah calls out. He calls them out to a challenge, and he wins the challenge, and it's you would think it would be just a defining, amazing, amazing point in his life. He wins this challenge. You think that his faith would be validated, and he would be verified in front of everybody, and his life would be great for the next run of his life. Actually, the life that he now steps into is, I believe, a life of depression. It's like he steps into depression immediately after a defining moment in his life happens, when the prophets of Baal are killed and when his God reigns and rules the day. So we're going to pick up the story from here on with Ahab, who's the king, the corrupt king, and his wife Jezebel, who's the corrupt queen. And they say, we're going to kill you. we're going to kill you. Now that our favorite prophets are dead, we're going to kill you. And here's what it says in verse 4 of 1 Kings 19. He went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept underneath the broom tree. Now, if this isn't depression or clinical depression, it's certainly what I felt a number of times, just a sense of lethargy, sense of being just like bummed out, a sense of lifelessness. And suicide wasn't a big thing in that corner of the world in that time period, but he basically has a suicidal thought here. He says, "Lord, take away my life. Take away my life." This is a guy who's in depression. This is a guy who is traumatized. This is a guy who's just lost the spark out of his life. This is a guy who right now is not mentally healthy. Whenever I feel lethargic, I don't want to use the term depression at this point going on, but I want to reserve the term depression as a clinical word when medicine may be the appropriate term. So I'll just say, when I'm feeling low, or when I'm feeling lethargic, I'm feeling bummed, I'm feeling a bit not myself, I realize, okay, I'm not thinking something right. It could be something different. There are such a thing, not to freak you out, there is such a thing as demons. There is a different spiritual realm. This is not about that. So I want to validate that happens and something weird could be happening there, but I can't control that realm so much. But what I can control, I can control my mind, right? Because Romans says I can renew my mind. So I go, okay, what's this? And I go through a 7-point checklist. I want to give you that checklist today. Whenever you're feeling like, just go through this checklist. First thing I do is I go, I ask myself, do I expect pain to come my way? Do I expect pain to come my way? Because sometimes if I feel like pain isn't going to come my way, then when I get it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awful. One of the things I can't stand is disgusting to me is what's known as the health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel, the idea that, you know, if you do certain things and you give money to God and you separate your recyclables, whatever the good things are, if you do all these good things, then God is going to bless you, you're going to prosper, you're going to be healthy, and you're going to be wealthy, and all is going to be good. I hate that. I hate that. For starters, Elijah is not prospering right now. He's wanting to die. He's alone. So what did he do wrong? He just stepped up for God and put prophets, their false prophets, in their place. What did he do? How about all the greats of the faith that have been nailed to crosses, that have been bled to death, that have boiled it? So all these greats, and they weren't really healthy and wealthy, and they weren't prospering? No. I have to say, okay, if I'm feeling, I just remind myself, okay, pain is a part of this world. Do I expect pain to come my way? Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, said, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid and rose and ran for his life. Yeah, I think you'd be afraid too if the most powerful woman that you knew in the world said, "Today, by now, you will die." He's up and he takes off. Maybe Elijah had forgotten that this prophet thing sometimes came with pain. Maybe he was surprised by this. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he thought that, hey, now that I did this, everything's going to go. Hey, I have to remember, pain is going to come away. Jesus actually promises this. In the book of John, chapter 16, 33, Jesus says, "In the world, you will have tribulation." Jesus says, "In this world, you will have pain." I got a little cut just when I was putting together my little art project earlier on here, and I was taking scissors to cut out the stem here. And what do you know? Scissors shouldn't be used on cauliflower. I stabbed and sliced myself. I've been bleeding all over this. It was wet before. It looked like I had urinated on myself, but I'm trying to get the blood out. I'm like, do I go, oh my gosh, I got blow. How does this happen to me? No, I go, no, I should expect that if I use scissors to cut through a cauliflower, I'm going to get hurt. And I should expect that if I'm on planet Earth, pain is going to come my way. And so whenever I'm feeling it, I go, oh, I had one of these this last week. As you know, if you were around Crossroads in November, December, we say the same thing we do every November, December. We say, hey, you know, we're a nonprofit just like any other nonprofit. Year-end giving is really important, yada, yada, yada. And the numbers finally came in, and the numbers were not good. And not good, going to be doing some changes around here, right? I don't know if you'll experience them or not, you'll notice it, but I will definitely notice them. And like, do I go, when that comes in, when I found that out, I wasn't bummed at all. Now, I don't like the news, to be clear, but like, oh my gosh, the budget, we didn't come under budget. Oh no, I'm going to die of starvation. Oh no. What? It's like, yeah, if you are part of an organization that has a budget, that happens every once in a while. You don't hit budget. You'd expect it. So changes will be made and on go with life. There's no need to like, oh, how could this happen? Oh my gosh, it happens sometimes. It's no big deal. Pain comes our way, whether it's an organization or in our own personal life. The second thing that I do whenever I feel lethargic, less than, bummed, weighed down, I ask myself, are the right messages getting into my mind? Because the world is giving all kind of messages to get in my mind. Messages like, if you don't own certain things and you're less than a somebody. Words like, be afraid of this person over here who isn't like you. Be very, very afraid. Messages like, you're not that important because you know, this is all just evolution. There wasn't any creator that was a part of doing anything of this. And so really, you're not special at all. There was cosmic goo and there was you. You're not special at all. Messages like, they did that to you. My gosh, you ought to take vengeance on it. All these messages are hurtful for our brain chemistry. All these messages, we ever wonder why we're getting less and less happy when these are the messages we get all the time. And so when I'm feeling down, I'm going, okay, am I filling my mind with these messages or what some people refer to as ants? Ants. You know what ants is? It's an automatic negative thought. Are ants going through my mind, these automatic negative thoughts that tell me I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, God is going to abandon me, I'm only on my own, I'm still not over what I did in third grade, whatever it is, these automatic thoughts affect our brain chemistry. And so I ask myself, are the right thoughts coming to me? It's not just the right thoughts, it's also the things that are being said to us. I was in a meeting at Miami University a couple months ago, and I was shocked, totally shocked by this PhD professor who talked about this experiment I had never heard of before. He said, yeah, it's been academically researched. He said, if you take three things of rice, if you take three containers of rice, exact containers, lids on them, and then one container, if you curse one container, and then if the other container, if you ignore it, and then the other container, you bless it, gives positive words. In other words, if one container, you just ignore it, you just let it go, like rice should be. The other one, you look at it and you go, you're evil. I hate you, rice. You're evil. In fact, you're white. It makes you hate you more. I can't stand you. You're the worst. I can't stand you. Right? You're never going to amount to anything. You literally talk to the rice. And the other one, you talk to, I love you, rice. You're white. I love rice. White is right. I love you. You're beautiful. I wish you have such great potential for you. He said, if you literally talk to the white, there's studies that have been shown that the rice will change. And this is a PhD telling us. I'm like, What do you know? I found on Instagram just recently, someone across was doing this exact same experiment. Yeah, in fact, you can go on YouTube. You could YouTube it. You Google people. You'll find people all over the place. This is what this rice looked like in the same conditions when it was ignored. This is what it looked like when it was cursed. And this is what it looked like when it was blessed. That's crazy. That's crazy. And it was a PhD who understands academic research that clued me into it. Maybe there's more going on in this world than we understand. Maybe there is. So maybe us telling myself, I'm so stupid, I'm so dumb. Maybe us telling myself, oh, God doesn't love me. Maybe us telling myself, I can't believe I did that. Maybe us telling ourselves, I gotta make up for that awful thing I did. Maybe the thing that we're telling ourselves and the messages we're allowed to get, maybe they're affecting our brain that's affecting our life. So I ask myself, are the right messages getting there? Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That could be something for you to think about always. Hey, Jesus gives you peace, not fear, peace. Do you believe that you're valuable? You need to believe you're valuable. You are. You're created in the image of God. Nothing else has been created in the image of God. You are. Atheistic evolutionists, and I always want to be clear, atheistic evolutionists, not evolutionists necessarily, atheistic evolutionists, will tell you there's nothing different between you and your dog, you and a fish. How many of us have ever had a dog that's committed suicide? How many of us have ever heard of a fish intentionally jumping out of water to die? How many of us have ever known a deer to run over a cliff and die? I've never heard of that. We don't know of that ever happening in the animal kingdom, as far as I know. You know why? Because they're not that creative, because they're not created in the image of God. Human beings, we have the ability to create things, to have visions and go after them, and it can get bastardized, and we can use it to creatively end our own life. The very fact that you might think about suicide is a sign of how awesome you are. It's a sign of how special you are. That you have been given capacities that are unique to anything else you've known other than a human being. Not so much God loves you. We need to have those thoughts going through us. Three, some of these are quick little bank shops. Third thing in the checklist when I'm feeling something isn't right is, how's my physical life? How's my physical life? Am I living a physical life? Science is very clear that as I'm doing whatever I'm doing here, as I'm getting my metabolism up, my endorphins start firing up here, and I get these natural God-given chemicals that start making me feel good. And actually, they actually start pushing new canals of activity. They actually start, some of my most creative things happen. Actually, one of my routines before I preach for the first time on Saturday is I do a little workout on an elliptical. Because I find if I'm moving, I'm all of a sudden, I'm doing the elliptical and I'm pulling up my phone, taking notes on what I'm gonna say in 45 minutes. Something just starts going. So when we live sedentary lives, our minds are gonna feel the curse of that. Dr. Stephen Ilardi says, we were never designed for the sedentary, indoor, socially isolated, fast food laden, sleep deprived, frenzied pace of modern life. We were never designed for the way we're living, and that's why we're not living. Four, do I have a purpose I'm working against? I ask myself, am I in cruise control? Is there a point? Is there something I'm going towards? Not a blueprint that I'm trying to check off, not a God has every turn mapped out for me, but is there a place, like a general direction where I'm headed? I think this might be why maybe anxiety and depression is so high in our millennial generation. There's a bunch of things to it, but one of the reasons I think why it's so high is we've got a generation of incredibly controlling parents with children who have given those children a blueprint for life. This is how you do your homework. This is how you do your, they've hovered over them and told them, this is how you do it. You do that. And then you get to college and all of a sudden there's no blueprint for you. There's no I've got to do this and that. And now what do you do? Now it's like, oh no, what am I going to do after college? What am I going to do? Where do I go? I don't, everything's been obvious. Get a good grade. Get your college exams done. Get into college or get into. And now I don't know what to do, because there has to be a purpose to our life, a place we're going, not a blueprint we're following, but a direction, the thing that we're going after. And whenever you have a person without purpose, you have a person who is maybe going to be mentally unhealthy. People who are out of work always feel it, right? We're out of work. We're new moms. Postpartum depression, parents who have their kids move out of the house, And all of a sudden, the purpose of family, now I'm an empty nester. Retirees, the statistics for when we retire, we die so much faster than if we kept working. Why? It's because it's a lack of purpose. So if I start feeling lethargic, I go, okay, hold on. Brian, do you know where you're going in life? Is there a hill you're headed towards? Or are you just sort of clocking in and clocking out right now? Or are you just kind of, I owe, it's off to work, I go. What's going on? Fifth. Am I disappointed? Am I disappointed in something? Because if I am, it's okay. You know, it's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be disappointed that you didn't get the pay raise that you thought you were going to get. It's okay. It's okay to be disappointed that your friend said something to you that was very, very hurtful. It's okay to be. It's okay to be disappointed at the health prognosis that comes up to you. But the disappointment isn't necessarily a means of unhealth. Being disappointed and feeling that disappointment doesn't mean something's wrong with your heart or with your brain. It just means, hey, this is disappointment. I'm disappointed. And so I need to give myself some time to feel crappy because it's okay. It happens sometimes, and I don't want to ignore it. Sixth thing I ask is do I have vibrant relational networks? Do I have vibrant relational networks? I believe the number one epidemic in our country is not opioid use, it's not obesity. The number one epidemic that's killing us is isolation. It's lack of relational connections. Now, when Elijah is in the midst of his funk, look how he processes with God. He says this, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, they've thrown down your altars, they've killed your prophets with the sword, and I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now, I'm not sure if Elijah is blowing things out of proportion by saying he's the only faithful one around, or if he actually was true. Either way, this guy was relationally disconnected. This guy didn't have a vibrant relational network to lean into. This guy didn't have somebody who would go to and say, dude, I'm feeling like freaked out here. He didn't have anybody. He didn't have anybody who was coming around him and nurturing him. And I don't know if that's because he really was the only one or if he had deluded himself and he was living isolationist. Either way, my point is this. When I'm feeling like, okay, what's wrong with me? I feel like I could do something crazy, or I feel like I could do something really like just sleep for 2 days, or I feel this pit in my, am I feeling alone right now? Is that my problem? We put a lot of time and resources here at Crossroads to try to make it possible for you to not feel alone, for you to not be alone. So I want people to get in groups. We want you to have a regular, repeatable rhythm. I have Thursday mornings with one group I'm in, and then I have another group of couples that are same life stage with my wife and I on Monday nights. Those are just two of my relational touch points. I have many others as well. Two of them that are just there so that I can interact. I can laugh with people. I can share things with people. All of us need to have those. One of the reasons why we push serving as much as we around here as we do is not just because we need all of us to help serve. It's not just that. It's that serving can give us a purpose. A purpose for helping others, for being used by God. Serving can also be a place where we meet somebody and we develop a friendship. Or shoot, maybe even a date. You never know. There's places and people worth. That's why we do camps. This next man camp we do is going to be incredibly challenging. Incredibly challenging. I would expect fewer people than ever to be there. We're very, very clear. It's going to be incredibly challenging. And even after I say that, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of guys came. Why? Because guys are going, I need to be around other people. We know that. We want that. We need that. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. We need someone giving us a good word. Number seven, have I been getting adequate rest? It's a big one. If I just been like, oh, rest. You know, there's the one nice thing about white death. It's really nice that our fear forces us to stay inside and rest. It's kind of cool. It's like schools cancel all the games, people cancel stuff, and all of a sudden, so I'm up for paying Kroger to make people freaked out. If we could just have forced rest, even by it's the abominable snowman who's never going to come, some reason, whatever it is, to just get us to slow down. You think you need 5 hours of sleep? You don't. Science is very clear. If we're all about science, let's listen to science. And science says definitively you need 8 hours. I said, oh, no, I don't. Okay, just admit you don't believe in science, you know. It's a huge thing, being able to sleep. Elijah, 1 Kings 19:3, God starts to talk to him, or he at least he hopes God is talking to him, and there's earthquakes, and there's windstorm, and in the midst of all this cacophony, God doesn't talk in that. He says this. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice to him. Now, we could look and see perhaps this guy is depressed. We could also look and see maybe he is resting. Maybe he's taken off and withdrawn himself from his normal duties, and he's resting. And in the midst of the rest, God comes to him. And what does he come to him? He comes to him with a small and still voice. We want to give you the opportunity to hear a voice today. The opportunity, the possibility of it. At all of our sites, and if you're with us at Crossroads anywhere, you can go to the website and we have our chat line open. And at all of our sites and on the chat line, we have trained people of prayer who like to hear from God and give you an opportunity to hear what a still small voice of God might be and to pray for you. We're going to do a song right now. And in that song, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to process with God what it is that you want Him to tell you.
You will stay true even when the lies come. Your word remains true even when my thoughts don't. I will stand tall on
4:6-7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but by everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's have all our prayer folks take their stations right now. And whenever you're ready, just go up to that person and say, I want a new mind in. And God, I pray that your peace would rule and reign in the minds and hearts of all who receive prayer today.
Hey, this is for all of us, because the truth is that we could all use help getting to a new spot. We are ready right now to pray with you. All you have to do is go to crossroads.net and click the chat button. Can't wait to pray with you. Have a fantastic rest of your week.